This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here across from Tropicana Field, where it's the Rays and the Jays today at 4:10 first pitch. Horse series tied at one apiece. They play four, and the start of the season wasn't what everybody anticipated. We got an eight spot late on us, but we returned the favor yesterday with another eight spot. But it was spectacular down here on Thursday for the 26th. Annual party at Ferg's for the grand opening. A lot going on at Ferg's. Always a party. We're down here at 13th and Central. Today you've got March Madness. You've got the Elite Eight starting today and tomorrow. Every television, 104 of them, will be tuned into to those games, as well as the Rays at 4 o'clock. So as far as a hub of sports, as well as the women, I'm not going to count the women now, as far as the women's NCAA as well, because that's a great story in itself, being from the state of Iowa. And Caitlin Clark, and we'll watch out with bated breath today. A lot going on this time of year. Of course, baseball, Ben Botham joins me, of course, the Seminole Warhawk, and then Joe Geiger, former Boca Ciega Pirate. To my right is Brad Richardson. He is the voice of the Seminole Warhawks, football and baseball. And on our Body Armor Prep Connection High School headquarters, he brought down the Pinellas Park Patriots. And they've got I'm sorry, dude. I'm not into you guys' swag as far as the color scheme. You got cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff. But this is the color scheme for me. The red, white, and blue. God bless America. On a happy Easter Saturday. Thanks for coming down, fellas, on a holiday. And, Coach, thanks for bringing them down.
Absolutely. And,
we got Beckham in the house. He's looking over here like, who is that goofy old man that won't shut up? That's their eight-month-old son. And what's your wife's name?
Jordan,
God bless you with that that beautiful little baby. All right, now we'll turn it over to Brad. He'll talk about the serious questions, the nuts and bolts of their season, and then I'll ask a couple of fun personal questions, and you can let your grandmothers hit them when they get home. All right, Bradley, take it away.
Oh boy, all right, here we go. Welcome to the Body Armor Prep Connection here, as we are joined by the Pinellas Park Patriots. And so we have four of them here today, along with their head coach, Ryan Griffith, all the way down on the end. Guys, introduce us. Tell me who you are, and sophomore, junior, senior, et cetera, as well as what positions you play on the field. Go ahead, speak up, man.
My name's Colby Redding, number 29. I play second base. I'm a senior.
All right. Next up, man.
My name's Tyler. I play center field. I'm a senior.
You got a last name, Tyler?
Burchard.
There you go. Your parents are listening. He's embarrassed about our last name.
All right. Go ahead, man.
Tyler Burchard.
Go ahead, man. You're up now.
I'm Destin Cuton, and I play left field. I'm number 26. And I'm a senior.
Awesome. And last but not least,
I'm Bryce Higgins. I'm number 12. I play right field, and I'm a senior.
All right, guys. So I'm going to give you just a quick little trivia and all, and I want to head back in time real quick to 2015. So right now we have a legacy joining us here, and I want to let you guys know something. So back in 2015, I didn't just announce Seminole during that time. I also announced him at one point. He got to hear me announce his name, and I believe Coach Pat Russo had me come down a few times to announce the team and all that. So I'm known.
Was that Pinellas Park?
Yes, it
so
is.
You're coaching your alma mater.
Yes, it is.
Kind of like Ben Botham coaching his alma mater. That's cool. I love that those stories.
Yeah, so I got to announce him. So as I announce you guys now for the season, I got to announce him. So it's always good to have Coach Griffith. But, you know, it's not about the old-timers right here. It's about you guys and all. So we're going to start with this. So
old-timers.
Yeah, old-timers. There's three of us here, but I'll count me and Ryan in this as well. So anyway, let's start off with this. So obviously, now we have the 2024 season going on right now. And I want to ask for all of you guys. All right. So what was the goal for this season? Other than wins, what was the purpose in terms of the actual goal that Coach Griffith wanted to set up for you guys? Colby, go ahead.
Just to get better as a group, I think. Obviously, more wins on the season. A better year than last year. But overall, just get better as a group and we're pretty much all seniors on our team, so I think we want to finish out strong on the year and just finish out high school on a good note.
Absolutely. What about you, Bryce? What was some of the things that he wanted you to do this season?
Come together as a team, play as a team.
Talking to the mic, man.
Come together as a team and play as a team. Like, help each other out, pick each other up.
Absolutely. Cool. All right. So now I want to go back real quick to the Georgias tournament. I was talking to Coach Griffith before this actual segment started, and I have to say I was very impressed with a lot of suicide squeezes that were going on in the game when you guys played CCC. Were any of you involved in that at all? Okay. So tell me, were you nervous on third base trying just to get in and get that run? Tell me about that.
I wasn't really nervous. I had trust in my teammates to put that bunt down so that we could score runs. I feel like that's our type of baseball.
I love that kind of baseball.
Scrappy, but I'd also say
coach has got a set. That's what that tells you.
Absolutely. You know, and you guys have took a lot of chances and played a few moments in some of these games I've watched this year. Very unconventional. And then as you said, you know, that's a great kind to watch. You know, it's not just big hits. It's also great game situations to score runs. So, coach, getting these guys together and getting them ready for each and every game, you can scout a team all you want. But what's some of the reminders you tell them before they go into a game? Some of the things to always keep in mind and remember.
Just having a lot of confidence in one another, having confidence in themselves. we want to play the game hard. We want to play the game fast. Just throwing strikes, making the routine plays, but just having confidence that they are one of the better teams in the county. The record doesn't always show it, but they're more than capable of coming together towards the end.
Well, in this county, everybody that's competitive is a superb baseball team from where I came from, the Midwest. So you guys are all very good players in your own rights.
All right, so real quick, I'm going to ask Destin this. So what would you say has been one of the biggest highlighted games this season for you guys, one of the biggest wins you guys have had to have?
Honestly,
don't be shy.
Don't be shy, man. Come on.
What do y'all think? Largo. Yeah, I honestly think Largo, because, like, we had a freshman come up, take a big step up, and decides to get us a run in the bottom of the sixth, and then we go in the seventh inning tied up. Next thing you know, he hits a walk-off and right up.
A freshman did?
Yeah, a freshman. He hit it, and next thing you know, it was all hyped, and we had it was a really good game, and we all fought super hard.
Well, you guys certainly aren't treating him like a freshman anymore, are you?
He's still got to
pimp him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. He's
still getting initiated.
Yeah.
But that just goes with you guys went through all that yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
But stepping up like that, pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was a big job, and it was a really good moment.
And makes Coach smile from ear to ear because he knows the future's bright too with some of that nucleus.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it was nice to beat Largo. It was nice to get them out.
Anyway, so let's start on the next thing. So during the game, you know, obviously there's going to be moments when there's a struggle. For any team, it's always going to be a struggle. Who's the one guy on this whole varsity squad, not just even the four of you guys here today, who really picks up the team? Who gets everyone psyched up just to make a comeback? Come on. One of the four of you. Who is it?
I would probably say Destin. Like, even when we're at practice, he comes with, like, fire and energy and lifts us all up to do, like, have a good practice or in game, hype the people, like our teammates up to do better. And even if somebody's down, he'll help them out, pick them up.
Well, and coach loves guys like that, right?
Absolutely, yeah. What all does Destin say? Come on. Come on, what do you say?
Get hype, keep your head up. It brings the energy.
Make you laugh too?
Yeah, it brings the energy. Oh,
for sure.
Well, Energy is important, especially after a loss, you know, and you're trying to reinvigorate your squad. And I guess I do have one question.
Uh-oh.
No, this is on a serious note, believe it or not. I'm not familiar. What's your guys' biggest opponent? I know Seminole and Osceola, but is it Seminole?
Honestly, our biggest opponents are ourselves because most of the
games. This guy's going to be a coach someday.
No, honestly, because most of our games, like, we beat ourselves and, like, we get our own.
My man, you're going to be a coach someday if you want. Yeah. Yeah. That's great attitude, isn't it, right? Yeah.
Alrighty. So, guys, I always ask this question. You guys are all on social media, definitely Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, and all. So, out of the four of you, all right, and this is a personal question for each of you. If you had to post a highlight from the season, video, picture, whatever, mainly video, what would you say would be the one thing that you would post on there that you want all fans and family to see? Colby, go for it.
Just this year?
Just this year alone, yeah.
What game was that when I hit two doubles?
You can't remember?
No, I don't remember. But a game when I hit two doubles in, was it St. Pete? Or no, IMG.
IMG and, Academy.
Oh, yeah, impressive. That's when we beat them, but that was a fun game for sure. Everybody was hitting the ball, and I was having a good game. I think that's the one game I would post this year.
Awesome. I bet that was fun beating IMG.
Yeah.
I don't care what level of their IMG team, you know, those money guys. It's nice beating them, you know, and saying, hey, we're public school, boys. I'd like that.
Bring it on. What about Tyler? Come on. What about you?
Honestly, it would probably be coming in against Osceola and shutting them down for four innings, not giving up a run at all. It was just fun. I was out there having fun. Wasn't trying to do too much. And that's probably the one I'd post.
You saw Paul, right?
Right.
Gotcha.
Awesome. All right, Dustin.
I would have to probably say the Osceola game because I hit a double and it was like against a kid like I'm pretty close with. And also it was just a fun game in general. And we fought for a couple innings and then we ended up losing that one inning. But
you know, Dustin, the beauty of that is you can rub that in that guy's face for like 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
Because I still remember things 100 years back myself. And I'll see those guys. Hey, remember I got you?
Yeah, for sure.
That's the beauty of those memories.
All right, Bryce, come on. Speak up really loud. Tell us
all. Definitely the Largo game because we all played a hard seven. And we all came together as a team throughout the whole game.
All right, let's go back in time one more time to 2015. I know Coach Griffith probably has one thing that he remembers.
He didn't know he was going to get roasted today.
Oh, come on. All right, come on, Ryan. There's got to be something you remember about your senior year of high school.
Senior year, I'm not too sure about. Junior is more memorable for me. We played East Lake on TV. Had a great game. Went
on
three
TV?
For four. Yeah, we played back when Bright House was around, one of those Bright House games. Went 3 for 4, I think it was, with a triple to start the game. Couple runs scored, couple stolen bases, and ended the game with a glove flip to first base. A lot of fun that game was.
On television, would they start calling you money?
Is that out of here?
Absolutely, yeah. That was during the Pat Russo era, so that was always a fun year to watch. So, all righty, Mike, you want to talk about the questions you like to ask these guys? And
well, they may not like them, but first of all, we'll start to the left. I always want to make certain you do a shout-out to people at home and thank them. So when you get home, you're going to get a nice meal, a hug, you know, whatever you want. But, yeah, do a shout-out to your family.
Well, I want to give a shout-out to my mom because – she drove me everywhere for travel ball, and that's the one person that wrote it out with me all throughout high school. And
what's mom's name?
Kristen.
Kristen, you got a fine young man here.
I guess I can thank my dad. He wasn't there for everything, but he helped me out when I needed it.
He brought you on the planet, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. His name?
Chucky.
Are you got any siblings?
My brother, Colin. He played for Osceola, actually.
He was a traitor.
Yeah, he is. But, yeah, that's about it.
All right. Question that nobody likes me to ask. Got a girlfriend? Hesitation.
Oh, man.
Hesitation.
No. I mean, prom is coming up, man.
Why
so.
Did you hesitate is my question there, pal. Possibly have one?
No.
Okay, good answer. All right, I want to chew a shout-out to your fam.
I'd like to just give out a shout-out to my whole family, no matter what it is.
Mom and Dad's names?
Mitch and Tara. But honestly, my whole family's always been like a big group. We have a big family, so we always do everything together. Recently, my grandfather passed, and even though it was a hard thing like to do or talk about, and we all like stick together,
got
and that's something
it.
That we always do. Like, we've always done that. We've, like, after this, I'm about to go have we're all at Margaritaville, and my whole family's there. So,
well,
it's just my whole family, no matter, like.
You're a blessed young man.
Yeah.
All right. The same question. Got a girlfriend?
No.
That's why you guys are having success right now.
Yeah, we're not really worried too much about girls.
I didn't really mean that. Coach likes that answer. All right.
All right, Destin,
Mr.
go for
Energy,
it.
Future coach.
Yes, sir. I want to do a big shout-out to my mom and my dad because they're the ones that, like, make me who I am today.
Their names?
Gary and Shawnee. And they make me just have all the energy I have. They push me through it.
They must be positive people.
Yeah, 100 for sure. Like, they make me, like, think the bright side, not the bad side at all.
Well, that's the way to go through life, young man.
Yes, sir. And they push me, like, hard, and it's good.
That's cool. Sir. Now, I think I know the answer already because these guys started smiling and laughing. I got a girlfriend?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. I would have lost that one.
No, I used to, but not no more. It's way better without a girlfriend.
Hey.
Three for three, no girlfriend.
Three for three, my gosh. Round of applause right there.
All right.
Finally, Bryce.
I would like to shout out my mom and dad. They've been through there. They've been through travel ball, high school baseball. Like, they paid for it. But definitely my grandpa. My grandpa's my number one supporter. He's been to every game, hasn't missed one. He's always there.
Bravo. Their names?
My mom's Gina, my dad's George, and my grandpa's Keith.
All right. Now, are you going to make this question a perfect 4-0?
Uh-oh.
Well, that, you know what? I always have a response for this. That's probably why you're having success, too, because you're a happy man. And you must have a good woman. How was that covering myself?
That was pretty good there.
All right. Okay, fellas. Well, I thank you for coming down. Appreciate all race fans, I hope.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. Hey, that right across the board there, Mike.
Yeah, I didn't have to break it down. I have had some people that went a different direction, and I wondered, but it was always family related. So anyway, well, guys, look forward to following your rest of your season. Appreciate you coming down. I might have to do some trades, coach, for some swag to keep it on front, because that is the best logo and the color scheme as far as I'm concerned. Now let turn the rest of it over to my man Brad Richardson.
All righty. Well, guys, thank you guys for being down here and all. Definitely good to see you guys. Obviously, you hear me all the time when I announce. And, of course, I'd love to give you guys a little trivia about Coach Griffith right over here. So, guys, once again, thank you for coming down. And look forward to seeing what else you guys have during the season. Obviously, the playoffs will be in a month. So we'll get a chance to watch more and get to see more of the Pinellas Park Patriots in action and get to see what other teams you guys will face off in the highlights coming soon.
You know, Coach, one of the things I really enjoy is seeing and these guys are all seniors. They've been through a lot together. Is they have this camaraderie, this cohesiveness. You can tell because they don't realize it now, but you guys are going to be friends for life. That's just the long and short of it. You know that. You know your teammates from 2015. You know you're talking to them still, and you're going to be buddies. Until they throw dirt on you. That's the beauty of sport. And so relish every moment of it. You're a big family man. You all are. You give tributes to your families. But between the family and friends, that's what it's all about. All right, gents. Thanks for coming on down. Appreciate it.
Thank
all right.
You.
Absolutely, guys. Thank
Have
you for being
Have a great
here
Easter.
For. Yeah, great
all
Easter
right.
to all
Thanks,
you guys.
Coach. Thanks for coming down, young lady, and bringing that beautiful little baby. Future Patriot right there.
Yeah,
right, Coach?
Future one. Beckham, get ready.
Coach, you'll still be in the dugout. coaching his boy. Well, and maybe he'll be in some big-time college program by then. All right, fellas, have a good one. Brad, as usual, superb job bringing down the Patriots from Pinellas Park Baseball. And always one of my favorite conversations is our high school prep connection brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor and, of course, Coca-Cola Beverages.
Absolutely, yeah. Definitely good having them down. So it's always good to have a lot of good teams coming down here. So
next week, we're gonna flip. The switch, we're going to have some wrestlers, huh?
Not next week, but on April 13th, we'll get a chance to have CCC coming down here. They have two state titled wrestlers that are going to be coming down here. One of the number one guy in the state, Gavin Nolan, will be joining us along with the two head coaches there. One of their assistant coach, and we'll get a chance to meet their other guys. So it'd be great to talk to them about wrestling and all in the season that they've had and the unique sport that it is. I mean, most people, when they hear wrestling, they don't understand the true mechanics, let alone the training that goes into becoming a successful wrestler.
Well, being from the state of Iowa where, wrestling is king, it's just amazed me how successful the wrestling world has become down here in Florida. And a lot of it's because a lot of Northerners came down here. But Florida actually has superb wrestling, and they send a lot of bodies up north to wrestle at Iowa State, Penn State, UNI, Ohio State. Those rosters are full of Floridians.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And wrestling is obviously becoming more impactful down here, and it's definitely becoming a popular sport and all. So, but yep, that's going to be on April 13th. We're looking forward to having CCC down here.
Hey, Matt, let's take an early break. I want to get a picture with these fellas before they take off, and then we come back and we'll talk baseball. Ben Botham and we'll throw Joe Geiger and Brad Richardson. We'll talk Rays. We'll talk about forecast for the 2024 season as we did on our baseball show on Thursday. And then we'll wind up with big ol' Oscar Garner III and Alex Reba, and we're going to talk March Madness, and of course the Elite Eight is set and the games start today here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Well,
first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. The only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
The Hippie Shack is St. Pete Beach's newest eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Located at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the Treasure Island Intercoastal. The Hippie Shack is open daily at 11 a.m., providing 60s and 70s vibe with live music every day of the week. Our comfort food and creative menu will take you back to the 60s and 70s with our themed daily great drink specials. The Hippie Shack is the grooviest and coolest new eating, drinking, and dancing kind of joint. The far out and peace-spreading Hippie Shack at 9655 Blind Pass Road on the water in St. Pete Beach. Don't be a square. We'll see you there.
Oh, groovy, baby.
Fred here. Welcome to the Sea Dog Treasure Island, a waterfront brew pub with a golf-inspired menu. Known for handcrafted cocktails and a wide variety of award-winning Sea Dog and Shipyard beers brewed right on site. Now serving breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m.
Chef Charlie here, featuring our homemade family recipes. Come try Big Mama's homemade biscuits and gravy, our award-winning shrimp and grits, and our handcrafted Maine lobster benedict.
Located on the water, just walking distance to the Treasure Island Beach. Enjoyment for all ages. Cheers.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub. Yeah.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. And Ben Bothan and I fill our face with his lovely mother Judy's treats here. And we just had a nice conversation with the Pinellas Park Patriots and Brad Richardson. Great job of getting them down here. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Coca-Cola Beverages and Body Armor, as well as Ice Pick Vodka in our adult conversations. And the rest of the show will be that way. And, of course, Sea Dogs Brewery, Shipyard Brewing, and of course, Ice Pick Vodka, which is the vodka choice for all of our on the T Florida, Big Monday, anything we do down here, and we'll be expanding into the world of maybe a little gambling as well. Are you able to eat those baked goods and also have a conversation?
Of course, Mike.
Without smacking your lips and making everybody hungry on the other end?
Hey, I mean, with food like this, it's hard not to be hungry.
Especially You grew up on it.
I certainly did. I was lucky enough to get this stuff all the time. Mom makes some good cookies, good pizzelles, all the good
stuff. You know, you're an only child, so you never had to go through the trials and tribulations of basically survival and getting in fisticuffs with your brother and sisters for baked goods and goodies,
yeah,
and soda pop. Good old memories, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, saved me a lot of headaches, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, before I forget, I'm gonna get one more plug. I'll probably get two more plugs for our new friends at the affordable golf carts. We talked about that, and the minute we got done talking about it, four golf carts drove by here.
They certainly did.
On the job golf carts, I was doing a little promo for them, and I looked up, and there was a different range. I guarantee you, those were a lot more expensive than the ones. Now I'm choking on my cookie that you can get from the job carts. Tell you what you do. You just mention St. Pete Sports Connection or On the Tee Florida. You go to on the Job Carts LLC, Tim and the gang. They'll give you 10% for mentioning us. And we'll talk more on the Tee Florida about our relationship in the world of golf as well. So let's talk a little baseball. Of course, we talked about the Rays and the Jays. And you think that's probably, well, right now, according to the talking heads,
especially the New York Post, the Baltimore Orioles are the preeminent favorite to win the East.
Yeah, I think that's a solid selection. The Orioles are looking really good. I mean, even their minor league team with Holiday, he hit first pitch home run. It was unbelievable. They'll
be moving him up quickly.
They'll be moving him up very quickly. But it's crazy to see how much depth they have, not just on the 40-man roster. They also have it going all the way down to their minor league affiliates.
And we talked about this on our first pitch of 2024 show on Thursday. And the overwhelming consensus is that the Orioles will be in first place. Yankees, they flipped it. Yankees, Rays. Toronto, in a lot of cases, third or fourth. I don't see that happening. And then what I love is the Red Sox dead last.
Love that.
Which is unbelievable for the Red Sox organization. First time in like 35 years if they end up in last place. Now, their owner, there's a lot of scrutiny right now at the Boston Red Sox because he just actually invested in the PGA Tour. I don't know about that. But some of these big-time investors to combat LIV he's put a lot of energy into that, and it's pissing off the Boston Red Sox fan base.
Instead of putting it into the team,
The Boston Red Sox have been around 100 some years, so they're not happy about that. But so I look at that, and as we said, you know, baseball season opening day is all about the old ketchup commercial anticipation.
Yeah,
we really didn't know what we had this year. A good portion of our nucleus was in place across the street, the Rays from last year, but not the arms.
That's
where there are a lot of question marks with Glasnow going to the Dodgers, and then of course Sugar Shane out for the season for the most part.
Tragedy.
A lot of question marks.
Yeah, I mean pitching's definitely going to be, which is, I don't know, an odd thing for the Rays because we always have such great arms. We start off the season, I guess in our case we don't start off the season, but we have these great guys and that are just always perpetually injured, and it's what's holding the Rays back from, I think, really getting that last little push, making it over the hump. Because Rays getting into the postseason, it's been a sure lock for the past 5 years, you know, and that's great for the team. But when you can't get over that last little hurdle because so many of your guys are either on the IL or, you know, they're talking contract stipulations like, oh, well, we're gonna leave next year, it makes the team, you know, really struggle in that last little part of the season.
Well, Zach Elfrin, of course, was the day one starter, and he's from Orlando, and it was a dream come true for that young man. You know, he quietly last year had 16 wins, and I think a lot of that got lost in the fact that, you know, if Sugar Shane would have stayed healthy, he probably would have won the Cy Young, the pace he was on. Tyler Glasnow came back when was pitching lights out, and he was the odd man out.
Yeah.
Right now, he's the ace.
He certainly is.
And
hey, he got my bet to cash over 4.5 strikeouts opening day, Mike.
That was your bet now.
That was my bet. I saw it on there. Zach Eflin over 4.5 strikeouts.
That was a money bet.
Hey. I couldn't take that.
That was an easy bet.
Hey, Benny, you know, you're going to share a little bit of that winning cash with me, right, for some drinks?
Yeah, I spent $5. I won $10.
Yeah.
Hey.
You can go get a couple of drinks and reach in your pocket for a couple more bucks. But anyway, but Zach Elfrin, you know, had a rough first outing. And if that's our ace right now, we're in trouble.
I think they left him in an inning too long. I mean, but that's what everybody's going to say. But when you have that caliber of a guy, he's not, I think, a true ace in the sense, like, he's not a Sugar Shane McClanahan.
No,
he's just not. But
and that's not what they picked him up for. They didn't know he was going to be in this role due to the injury and trades.
Exactly. So he's a guy that, I mean, especially this early in the season, it's maybe not wise to let him go as far. You should be in peak shape, peak performance for this. It's the start of the season. It's the first freaking game. But, you know, a lot of these guys, it's a different ball game. You have to work them into the season, get to a point where they are at their peak performance, and then more than likely they're not going to stay there because of our training staff. But right now they got to limit his innings, maybe no more than 5, and then try and rely on our bullpen, which – you know, that's going to be another story.
That's beat up as well.
Yep.
Yeah. The reality is we open up with Toronto, of course, you know, formidable foe and one of our biggest rivalries in the East. And then on Tuesday, we've got on Monday, we've got the Texas Rangers, the reigning World Series champs, coming to town and for three-game series. And we know what happened the last time they were in town. It was the playoffs. They came in as a wild card. If they would have won the last day, they would have actually had home field advantage, and we wouldn't end up playing the Rangers, who ended up winning the World Series. So a lot of moving parts in the world of baseball, and we wouldn't have had that 3:45 start and no one watching us on television.
Did you see the Rangers flag for the World Series that they put up in their stadium?
No.
Cool. No. What is
it's a little, it's tiny. It's minuscule.
They're in Texas. Everything's big.
Yeah.
Not the flag. I don't know what it was. Whoever designed it was a moron.
I mean, Benny, let's put it this way. Football reigns in Texas. I mean, Dallas Cowboys, it's a religion. I mean, high school football on Friday nights is a religion, but take the Cowboys. I mean,
we're talking about the World Series.
I know, but you're talking about the World Series. I mean, you talk about everything bigger in Texas. I guess, unfortunately, right now, baseball has not caught up to that concept yet.
It's in their stadium.
I understand, but it should be a little bit bigger. You were mad right now that.
I'm telling you right now, I lived there and I went to Rangers games. And of course, the Astros. So baseball does rain there, and they, you know, even look at their collegiate games. But I don't know why they made that move.
They didn't even put it on straight. Yeah, it was crooked.
Was it?
It was like bent in the middle, and it was pretty bad.
What the hell?
It didn't look like an actual like pennant, like you see hanging at the Rays games or at Yankee Stadium or anywhere.
It looked like something like I'd put in my room if I was a Rangers fan.
If is the key there, Joey.
Hey. I will tell you one thing though. You look at their lineup, and if they get healthy and get their pitching staff back, they've got everybody back intact, and they've got a phenom rookie coming up. Of course, a bullseye will be on them. Last year, they came out of nowhere. I mean, they led for a good portion of the season,
sure.
Then faded, and then made a comeback. But they're the real deal again.
That's the big thing with baseball is being hot at the right time. I mean, the Rays were hot. I mean, they were electric at the start of the season, but that doesn't really count for much in a 162-game season. It doesn't matter if you're good for 19, 20 games. It's just not going to get the job done unless it's those last 20 games.
Okay, we had predictions on Thursday. How many games do you think the Rays win this year?
I think it's another 97 wins.
Joe?
I'm going to go 86 just because, you know, our pitching staff, Eflin isn't a number one guy, and it kind of showed opening day, but he's a good pitcher. Just I don't know how we're going to be with our rotation with him as our number one guy all year and Savali as our number two. Again, both solid pitchers, but I don't think they're 1-2, and I think, you know, it's going to come to bite us eventually this year.
And I'll play it safe. I'll say I'll stick right in the middle with my prediction. I'll say 90.
Well, the optimist of Mark Ferguson comes by, and I had Peter Gollan back with me, and I had Kip Engel that are two very, very educated authors and communications directors in the MLB for decades. And Mark said 99 wins. Now, I don't think with that pitching staff, 99 would really be a stretch. And it'd be an amazing year like we started out last year. But 99 wins is going to be tough.
I see her fan over there, my mother. She's saying 101 wins.
Oh.
101. Your mother is the most positive person on the planet.
Mrs. Botham. We'll take that now. It's a four. Okay.
Well,
four votes there.
Judy to me. I'm an old man, so I can call her Judy. You keep calling her Mrs. Botham.
I'm a gentleman, and I have respect.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm a gentleman, unlike Mr. Botham here sometimes.
Yeah, that's Mrs. Botham to you. Judy to me. Anyway, 99 wins. I said, well, you're the eternal optimist. And, of course, the more wins that the Rays get, the better it is for Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Oh, of course it is. It means more people over here, more people ordering the world-famous wings that we have.
Which I think the Pinellas Park Patriots, they're still here right now, and they're probably going to get some world-famous Ferg's wings.
Hey, by the way, those were great kids.
Yeah,
you know,
awesome.
The more I hear all this negativity about, you know, the youth of today, and you know, there's reason for that, and it's usually typically old, grouchy old men. I'm not one of them. But most of the teams we have down here, I walk away and I'm impressed of these young people. And, you know, as a coach, are you seeing that with your players? I know you don't see it so much in the hallways, you tell me.
Yeah, it's mainly with kids who are involved in sports or the
exactly.
ones that
I wanted to hear that out of your mouth.
They have a positive role model that's supposed to be guiding them and showing them how to live a good, wholesome life, not just on the field, but throughout their life, when they're in the classroom, when they're out at work, when they're just anywhere with their families doing anything in the public. That is kind of the idea that a coach is supposed to be instilling into these kids. And that's why you see kids who are in sports are so much more successful, so much more well-rounded than the kids who are not involved.
Or any activities whatsoever. And you know, one thing I will say, that most of them had parental support. But the beauty of it is, if they don't have that luxury and they don't have a family, unfortunately, and that's very prevalent across America these days, a lot of these kids will get that by being a part of a sports organization or any activity, any group. And you and I have talked about, we're getting to a stage in society where it's isolationism. Nobody wants to go out for teams. They don't want to participate.
Yep.
They're going to miss all the great things. Here I'm telling these guys, you know, you're going to know each other for decades. Some of these kids, they don't care to because they don't know about it. And that's the travesty. That's why I say sports and music bring people together. And sports, regardless of their level of success, it generates positivity for the rest of their life.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I mean, I'll say this too, is that it provides structure. It provides, it gives
absolutely.
The ultimate thing is
absolutely.
That it forces the kids to multitask. I mean, when you have some, by the way, think about this for a minute. Ones that do play sports, ones actually, they have to go to classes. But the other side of it too, is you have some kids who want to work jobs. So they're having to balance a lot of stuff out. Sometimes the only time. That's life. Yeah, exactly. Especially when you have a family, but it provides a structure for them. It forces them to take responsibility. It forces them to go and say, hey, in order for me to be able to play the sport, I got to make sure I'm focused on these grades. I got to make sure that I'm also having a positive outlook when I'm in the classroom and also on the field, because if I'm negative, the grades aren't going to be good and I'm also not going to be playing. So, and if you have negative attitude within a job, you're not going to be in the job that long.
Well, that's enough of our lecturing from the old guys in the house. But the reality is, and Joe's, you know, 19 years old. I know you enjoyed every minute of playing sports and probably miss it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what kids do in high school when they're not playing a sport. I mean, you make best friends that you're going to make for your life, friends with, you know, your players, your teammates, your even your coaches. So, I don't know. It's definitely very important for high schoolers.
Let's switch gears. Let's get big old Oscar Garner III. Of course, he was my right-hand man, or I was his weight around his neck on Monday. We had Big Monday down at Sea Dogs Brewery. Alex Reba was traveling. Hopefully, we've got them both on the line, the big old Oscar Garner III and Alex. Of course, Reba, the masterminds, the geniuses behind Big Monday, which has become a resounding success. And we're going to talk a little March Madness. The Elite Eight is all set. It's pretty interesting to take a look at where we started. I always pull my bracket out, where we started and where we're headed, and you know, the success or their lack of prognostication at every level. The talking heads, the schlubs like me. But Big O, how are you, my man?
We're doing good, man. I'm sitting here with Alex. We are in the Metro Detroit area, fresh off of the Sweet 16 Midwest matchups, and feeling good, feeling excited for Sunday, where chalk has continued to play out in the Midwest. Purdue versus Tennessee, a 1-2. Very exciting stuff. Mike, how about you?
Well, I was disappointed. Of course, my Creighton Blue Jays not getting in, but I never felt very good about that game with the athleticism of Tennessee and the lack of depth that Coach has on that bench for Creighton Blue Jays. So that didn't surprise me last night. I know where we need to go first and foremost, and I'll get out of the way, is, of course, your North. I don't know why I even say this. You just grabbed him for some strange reason and started in football season. Your North Carolina State Wolfpack are in the Elite Eight. And we're never going to hear the end of it, Alex.
No, you'll never hear the end of it. Look, NC State has been on a great, 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks of basketball. I think it's six games straight they're on after ACC tournament win, have beat, you know, America's darling in Oakland, now has beat Marquette. I mean, I told you Shaka Smart, he always comes up short here. So NC State advances, the first 4-11 matchup and they have a chance to take on Duke once again. I'm so excited for this matchup, and I'm very excited to hopefully see NC State make the Final Four. Look, Duke had a great game against Houston, but Houston had a key player go out. So, you know, was that a real matchup for them? Will they be able to keep up with NC State here? It's going to be hard to tell, but of course I'm going to ride with the Wolfpack, and, you know, this is a pick that I picked a couple of years ago that's played out very, very well.
Well, I will say this. Jimmy V is smiling down on this team, and there's certainly a lot of people in my demographic that remember that incredible run by Jimmy V and his Wolfpack, and we're seeing a different version of it in 2024.
Yes, absolutely. So let's move over to – let's talk about these games that me and Alex actually got a chance to watch. Alex, you had a couple of lines out last night. You had some money out on the game. You know, Purdue and Gonzaga was decent, but I think Tennessee and Creighton was the better matchup. Where do you start?
Tennessee – good to be with you, Mike. Glad to be here with Oscar in the Metro Detroit area. But yeah, the Tennessee game is obviously the more competitive one. Came down to the wire. Looks like Creighton would maybe get back into it on some the heels of some Stephen Ashworth, Baylor Shireman threes down the stretch. But Tennessee's athleticism, I think their defense kind of just swarmed Creighton at multiple points during the game. I was fascinated. Rick Barnes kind of went to his bench, and you mentioned the depth that Creighton kind of lacked. Tennessee has that depth. Specifically, you know, one of the guys that I've kind of keyed in on with Tennessee has been Jonas Adu. He's their big man. I did have his over for rebounds, and he rode the pine the entire second half because they went small ball, and this is a game they played without Santiago Vescovi, who's one of their most senior-laden guards, but they got guys off the bench like Jordan Ganey, like Meshack, that can complement, don't connect very well, and I think that was just a tough matchup for the Blue Jays. They weren't going to be able to score the ball and shoot from a high percentage from deep, but they got their work cut out for them against these Boilermakers who have quite a large contingent here in Detroit.
When you take a look at this Purdue team, and you and I have talked about it, Alex, and so did the Big O, I think they're a team of destiny, but there's just one roadblock that really concerns me, and that's the UConn Huskies. I just don't know if they can get that, if they can get by UConn. Should it get to that point?
I mean, I think that's kind of the matchup. If you're a true college basketball fan, you want to see. You know, everyone loves upsets. Everyone has their teams and everything. You know, in Oscar's case, NC State, James Madison. You know, strong alumnus there. The guys behind us became Blue Jays fans for the evening last night too, and we're talking about getting down to Omaha as quickly as possible if they covered that bet last night, but. I digress. I would say, yeah, it seems like since the season began, you know, three teams kind of separated themselves from one another and the rest of the pack, and that was definitely Purdue, Houston, and of course the UConn Huskies. And in this tournament, the UConn Huskies have separated themselves even further in my eyes, and that's no slight to Purdue because Purdue absolutely ran Utah State out of the building, a Mountain West champion in Utah State, a really quality team, and then they played very well against a tough team yesterday, but I still think that UConn, they just have like no flaws from what I've seen all season, and they have just not, they haven't even been challenged by a number of teams. I mean, the last close game they played was Seton Hall in the semifinals and of the Big East Championship, and then they have three losses on the year. One of those was at Allen Fieldhouse against Kansas, one of those was Seton Hall on the road, and one was, I'm forgetting the third one, but they just don't have bad losses. They don't let themselves get behind. I mean, Dan Hurley, a true sociopath of basketball, but I mean, it's clearly working because they're producing results and they are so deep. They play such good offense and defense. They complement one another. I'd love to see the Boilermakers. I think you could talk yourself into the path of destiny based off the Virginia national championship run, but that Virginia team didn't have to go up against an animal like this UConn team in my eyes.
Hey, fellas, remember all season long we were talking the Big 12, the toughest conference in America throughout mm-hmm. the regular season, and for obvious reasons that we made that claim. But not one team in the Elite Eight now after the Houston Cougars going down.
I don't think I have an issue with still claiming the Big 12 was the best conference because coming into the tournament, they still had so many teams that, I mean, Iowa State gets the Sweet 16, We see Houston gets the Sweet 16. Obviously, the Houston case is just as simple as they lost multiple guys throughout this season, and then you go and lose Jamal Shedd, who is truly the most underrated player in college basketball. He has been a top player all year, and he just doesn't put up big points like Dalton Knecht or R.J. Davis or Zach Edey. So I don't think, you know, the brand of basketball lends him a lot of credit for how talented a player he's been on both sides for the Cougars. But yeah, I mean, I think the Big 12, that they're a lot of those teams, like we said, Iowa State, Houston, they play a defensive brand of basketball that doesn't necessarily translate to March. The one that kind of surprised me, I was expecting more out of the Baylor team, but they did the opposite. They were so offensive heavy, which was kind of the opposite of that national championship team under Scott Drew. This team was all offense, and it came back to bite them against the Clemson team, which I live with a Clemson alum, and he has been, you know, kind of down on this team all season, just waiting for the Brad Brownell kind of choke job. But apparently Brad Brownell does his best work when his feet is as hot as possible, because he continues to find ways to win with this program. And now he's going to go to the Elite Eight today in California, and he's going to have a chance to go to the Final Four against the Alabama team, which I don't think a lot of people saw getting this far. But, you know, I think that's a fascinating matchup as well there.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, a conversation with Oscar Garner III and Alex Reber, brought to you by our good friends at Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and, of course, Sea Dogs. We're talking about the Elite Eight. You can watch every game down here at Ferg's. All 100 televisions will be on. We'll flip over about 410 for a little raise action as well. Oscar, the Fighting Illini, one of the two opportunities for our Big Ten to represent in the national championship game. Do they have a shot against UConn? I mean, everybody has a shot, but do you realistically think that they, you know, their inside presence is certainly what took down Iowa State, I would say, and then the questionable guard play early on in the Cyclones. But I like them to be competitive in that game against UConn.
I think it's going to be competitive. I would say if you look at the last few games that they've played, they've been pretty dominant over the first two in the first weekend. Had a tougher matchup with Iowa State, kept it close, but I like the fact that they were able to get that win out of there. And I think they can possibly ride some momentum here, but I think it's going to be a tough matchup. Like Alex said, look, UConn is doing the same thing that we saw them do last year. And it seems like it's this slow-moving storm that is just marching through round by round by round, knocking their opponents off for what seems to be inevitable. And when I look back at some of the takes that I had last weekend, while I did have, you know, the Fighting Illini getting this far, I did not have them making it further than this. And I think UConn is going to be the team that we're going to see in the championship game coming out of this side of the bracket at this point. So, you know, this is so many ways of saying I think this is where the buck stops for the Fighting Illini. But we'll find out at 6 o'clock.
My one bit on this game, the Illini got to shoot free throws better. They were 52% from the field in that game against Iowa State. Iowa State also missed, I think, like 15 layups. There was some insane stat during that game. And I think the Illini were a little lucky to get out of that game with the way they played. They're going to need to shoot their free throws better. They cannot be leaving points against this UConn team on the floor like that, because it's just there. It's going to come back, and it's going to a big lead is going to swell on them, and you're just not going to be able to dispel that easily.
Hey, fellas, maybe it's just me, but have you noticed that free throw shooting has not been very consistent across the board in this tournament?
No, I mean, even you look at some of the older teams, and me and Alex have called this out in the past. The teams that win in March Madness are teams that have had chemistry over some years, right? The opposite of that being Kentucky, the strong suit of that being a team like Purdue, teams that have been together for some time with a key player that's come up there, and then building the discipline of free throws as well. So having that success is so key, and we're seeing even some of our older teams struggle with some of that. I mean, of course, I think back to Michigan State, and I think about a team that has four players that came back in that starting unit, and they were terrible in free throws. They had several opportunities. They got to the line but couldn't hit them, and we've seen that across this tournament. But going forward, that's going to be something I think is going to make or break, because we're done with the blowouts here. These are going to be close games across the board, and if you're not hitting your free throws and being disciplined there, it's going to be a tough go.
one guy I want to give a lot of
guys. I gotta wrap it up. We'll be talking about this on Big Monday, of course, from 6 to 8, live from Sea Dogs Brewery. You can hear that on RadioCMP.com and our Florida sports streams. You boys stay out of trouble. Do I need to keep a lot of cash on me to wire up bail money tonight, or are you going to keep it on the low key?
I can't answer that, but you have a good weekend, Mike, and we'll catch up on Big Monday.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, guys. Have a safe trip, Alex, and thanks, Big O, for carrying the show this past Monday. Those are Big O, Oscar Garner III, and, of course, Alex Reba. We need to talk a little baseball, though, before we go, Ben, because in 3 hours, it's game number 3 of the 4-game series, Rays and Jays at the Trop.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, even if Major League Baseball is not finding it so exciting, because Major League Baseball has only posted us twice. We are the least mentioned team on social media out of all baseball.
To quote Peter Gollenbeck, who are these guys?
But
he never knows who his statement every time we talk about the lineup.
But they're promoting Oakland. Oakland's got more posts than us, and Oakland could barely even fit like one.
It's like
row,
a going away.
130.
It's a going away party for Oakland.
Did you see the images of Oakland for opening day, Mike?
No, is it sad?
It is sparse. You might have been able to fill up one section at Tropicana Field, America's ballpark, but it was
America's ballpark. I have been to the A's location Oakland Coliseum on several occasions. It's not in a good neighborhood. I'm telling you right now.
I heard it's quite the dump. But, you know,
it's got rich tradition going back to the 70s, baby.
Yeah, they got
Reggie Jackson, Joe Rudy. I mean, you've got 3 or 4 guys that are in the Hall of Fame pitchers.
But did they have NSYNC open up their stadium with an amazing concert?
Who did that?
Right here, the old gray lady, back before she was...
You weren't even born.
Back before she was Tropicana Field. We had NSYNC here, one of the largest concerts.
You weren't even born, dude.
That's not a big deal. It's still true.
NSYNC.
Hey, and they're going to come back right now. So, hey, that's 90s nostalgia for me. Yeah, so
you never know. They might come on back. I know they got Riley Green coming.
When they were here, I never cared for them. So I don't care if they come back. NSYNC. Who's in? Is that Justin Timberlake and those clowns?
Yeah, Justin Timberlake, Lance Bass.
Jesus, he knows them all.
Joey Fatone, all them. Yeah, I mean, hey, I was a kid of the '90s. I varied yeah,
Donnie
in music.
Donnie Wahlberg and that team?
No, that was New Kids on the Block.
Oh, can't keep up with those boy bands.
No,
I don't really give a dang.
But yeah, I mean that. Yeah, I mean, hey, they're coming to it, but
Hey, the Blue Jays fans are coming in.
Yeah, they're starting to. I haven't seen that many Bichette jerseys yet, though. I will say that.
Oh, I saw plenty of them at the game opening day. And guess who else was at opening day?
Uh-oh.
It was Joey Votto. Joey Votto was sitting there. He was in the section right above me, looking down.
Joey Votto was over here?
Yeah, he was there for opening day.
Why was he here?
Remember, he got picked up by the Blue Jays, remember?
Oh, so I didn't know Joey was there.
Yeah, he was there. He was there watching the game, having a good
time. I figured he'd come down and have a coldie with you.
Yeah, I tried. I sent him a message here and there.
He'll be back in the bigs before
he,
you know.
He got lost. He couldn't find my second.
Hey, we got to wind things down.
I got to say one thing real quick. You know how you said Peter Gollenbeck, said, who are these guys?
Yeah.
You know what? You got to get a recording of him saying that. Every time something comes up, you got to do
for
that.
For Bob Putnam, Jim Hart, David Wilson, Wyatt Ross, Ben Botham, Brad Richardson, the Pinellas Park baseball team. Want to thank them for coming down. Matt on the controls, Joe Geiger. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Have a happy Easter and a championship week.